All right, back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier, Christian Garrick. We welcome in now Phil Steele, college football analyst with the College Football Preview. Phil, how are you?
It's so much better than last year at this time, huh, guys?
Indeed.
Know we're playing football. We know the schedules are set. Everybody had spring practice. I'm fired up.
Phil, right now, where do you have LSU in your preseason rankings?
I think this is going to be a big bounce back year for LSU. I've got them coming into the season number 17 in my overall rankings, but I actually rate them number 9 in the power poll, which is the amount of talent that they have. They do have a couple of tough games this year at Alabama, home against A&M. But I think this is a team very capable of double-digit wins. And, you know, with the fact that everybody's experienced this year, everybody's got 16, 17, 18 returning starters coming back, I think the teams that were least experienced last year will make the biggest jump. And last year, LSU only had 2 returning starters on offense and 3 on defense after all the players lost to the NFL, after all the opt-outs and injuries that they had. So I think they're going to make a huge jump. They're my number 2 most improved team in the country.
Phil, Mike Dettelier, one of the things, man, I see is Oklahoma. And, man, I think the world of Spencer at quarterback. I think he's a guy that's super special. I spoke to Barry Switzer, and one of the things he told me, he said, Mike, I think the big difference between maybe the teams we had 70s, 80s, early 90s, well, we were better up front, offensive, defensive line, linebacker core, than what you see today. He said occasionally you'll have – you know, one of those special players. But back then, we had 2 or 3 guys like that. Do you see that this team could really make a run for the national championship and a lot of it on the back of Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, and it's actually not just Spencer Rattler, because they've had good quarterbacks at Oklahoma. I mean, Lincoln Riley's 4 years. He's had 2 Heisman Trophy winners and a Heisman Trophy runner-up. I think Rattler has experience now. I like how he responded after getting benched against Texas last year. He didn't pout, come back in the game, did well, and then really tore off the cover the rest of the year. But this is a loaded team. They have my number 1 rated offensive line in the country. And just 2 years ago, they won the Joe Moore Award for best offensive line. And they also have something that they haven't had when Lincoln Riley's made his playoff runs, and that's a defense. They've had an average defense all 3 times they made the playoffs. This year, they have my number 5 rated defense, number 3 defensive line in the country, number 9 linebackers, number 3 DBs. And all the other 4 teams that were in the playoffs last year have got like 9, 10, 11 starters returning. They have 15. All the other 4 teams that were in the playoffs last year lost their starting quarterback. They've got Rattler back. So I think this is the most complete team by far for Lincoln Riley. I'm calling for their first national championship since 2000.
We're speaking with the great Phil Steele. And, Phil, the one thing I've always appreciated, you know, because you always got a number of fans want to maybe lay a little bit of coin and as far as what's value. I mean, who's that? Always look at where do you have someone maybe 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th who could be that dark horse to get into the postseason? Because it's not an expanded postseason. It's still only 4 teams. But it seems like you're pretty on top of that, or that type of team is in the hunt. Who is that this season?
Yeah, and we've actually had a really good track record with this. If you go back to 2016, I took a non-top 10 team in Washington, said they were going to make the playoff. They did. 2018, Notre Dame entered the season number 12. I said they were going to make the playoff, and they did. 2019, I had Utah as my number 1 surprise team, and they lost the doggone Pac-12 title game, or they would have made the playoff. And last year, I had Texas A&M coming off a 5-loss season as my number 1 surprise team, and there they were, Selection Sunday, A&M or Ohio State. They almost made it, came very close. This year, I'm going to throw a real shocker at you, Bobby. I'm going to throw the Washington Huskies. And I say a real shocker because they're not even going to be picked to win their own division this year. Washington's a team that's got a big offensive line. These guys are about 335 pounds across the board, a deep set of running backs, veteran quarterback, good receiving core, and the defense is always solid under Jimmy Lake. But I love their schedule. The toughest 2 teams are not on the schedule, USC and Utah. The toughest 2 teams, Oregon and Arizona State, they get at home. And I feel home field edge is going to be amplified this year with fans just happy to be back in the stadiums. So they very well could be favored in all 12 games. I've got Washington as my number 1 surprise team or non-top 10 team that I think could actually crash the playoff party.
Phil, one of the things, and I know we've said it almost every year, man, this is the year for Georgia. If they're going to do it now. But now, you got a guy in JT Daniels who's a real gunslinger at quarterback. He's a different kind of passer than what they've had that before. This is a team really well built along the offensive, defensive line. They're bringing in Gilbert, and I think they may work him in at the wide receiver position. Is you look at the first game they play Clemson. Every other game afterwards, I have a friend of mine who's working at one of the hotels in Las Vegas. He says they're double-digit favorites over every other team other than Clemson. The rest of the schedule, man, it comes down to that SEC championship game between them and Alabama. And so, man, do you think that this is the year Georgia could really make a run and be that top team in the country?
Well, because they prayed for the next Herschel Walker. Come on.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And you look at the backfield, you look at the running backs. Zamir White was my number one running back out of high school, and he's now he's a sophomore, believe it or not, but he's really a junior. But they've got Milton Cook. They've got five of what I call VHD running backs. With JT Daniels, a quarterback, they average 37 points per game. They have my number seven offensive line in the country, my number two defensive line in the country. So if you're strong at the line of scrimmage, win a lot of games. They have my number two special teams in the country. So overall, my number four offense, number three defense, and you hit it right on the head. The schedule really sets up well. They only have three true SEC road games this year. Auburn, Vandy, Steerhead coaches. Everybody else they get at home, and they avoid Alabama. They avoid Texas A&M. They avoid LSU. Now, what happens if Georgia plays Alabama in the championship game? You know, the last two times those two played in the postseason, I think Georgia led all but 2 minutes of the game and yet somehow lost both games, so they proved they're capable of playing with them. Even last year, you go back and watch last year's game, they led that thing late in the third quarter, 24-21, and then sort of fell apart, a key interception by the end zone. But this is a Georgia team that feels they can play with Alabama, and I think this could be the year to break through. And if you're going to get Alabama, get them this year.
Now, Phil, what would your take from a national perspective? LSU kicking off the season in Los Angeles in the Rose Bowl, coming back from the pandemic. If we'd have more fans than the UCLA Bruins in the Rose Bowl. I mean, think about that.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that at all. In fact, I think that's a distinct possibility.
Right.
We all know how the SEC feels about football.
Yeah. Amen.